D1, number 1B.
This is completely new because the Bible or any text, also the textbook, says, here I present to you ideas, and if you read them, you can reproduce in your consciousness the understanding of these ideas. It's reproduction. It's not infinite progression. The moment we understand ideas which are defined and clear-cut and abstract, we can start combining them at infinite, at infinitum. Then a completely new era breaks on one's thought, namely that one's vision is no more dependent only in reading a revealed text. Then one becomes the creative scientist that is able to reveal the new text, a new vision, to compute constantly anew, individually. I will come back to this again and again, but this is what is going to happen at this period, that the concentration of only reading what other revelators have revealed must be complemented more and more by the creative thought that is able to contemplate new ideas which have never been written down, and therefore become a compositor of new themes and music of divine ideas. But all this needs a clear understanding of our terms. See, this is the difficulty in every religion, that the religion takes the text and terminology that has been revealed and makes it, so to say, as the only authority. And therefore, the church that is built on that religion will go back to reading that text over and over and over, investigating that text over and over and over, substantiating everything they say by what has been said in that text, quoting endlessly by what that revealed text has said. See, that's religion. Religion comes from re legere, means to read again. There's also another meaning, re legare, which is to bind back. It has both meanings. It is constantly rereading what has been revealed and binding one's thought back to what has been revealed up to that point. And woe to him who has the courage to find a new language and express something in new terms that is not already stated in the authorized text. Then he is off the track. No, then he is
in the soup.
All right. But really where he is in infinite progression. He has gone on. He has not re-related himself only to what has been stated before. Therefore, if we handle the claim of orthodoxy in ourselves, we must see that not everything we say must be quotes from the authoritative books. That there comes a time when we have studied those books to that extent that we know them well enough so as to have our fundamentals so clear that they lend themselves for infinite progression, for infinite combination, for an infinite calculus of ideas. And then the scientist becomes productive and not only an interpreter. All right. When we speak about the new language, what is the new and what is the old language which Mrs. Eddy has introduced? I only want to pick out three old and three news, which I feel are of a paramount importance. The one is God, that's an old term. A new term is principle. Another old term is man, and the new term is idea. And another old term is in. Now don't be shocked when I say the new term for in is science. I will explain that to you. Did I get you right?
Yes.
In. In, I-N, just a small little word, in. That's where we stumble with the in. That in is that which tries us to keep us back and not to go forward. Let's take this new terminology and see how much it opens up. And all this is necessary in order to explain the chart. See, Christian Science textbook touches all sorts of levels of thought. It isn't just written for one and the highest level. It is written for any level. It appeals to the religious thought. It appeals to the metaphysical thought. It appeals also to the Christian thought. And naturally, to the scientist, too. And so, in the textbook, Mrs. Eddy tries to lead thought from beginning to end, higher and higher, to that highest symbolism, which she really saw is the pith of being. Because we can ask ourselves, what is really the pith of our investigation? It's really being. That is what we are interested in. The biggest, the deepest subject, being. And how was being expressed usually up to now? We said, well, being is God and His creation. God who has a creation, the universe and man. And we said that the relationship of this God and His creation is that God is in you. The kingdom of God is in you. That God works in you. In. So you had God and man and in. And this pith of the whole subject, Mrs. Eddy tries to resolve and lift higher and higher until at the end of the textbook, on the second last page of the textbook, she lifts it right out and says that the human sense of deity yields to the divine sense, even as the material sense of personality yields to the incorporeal sense of God and man as. see as the infinite principle and the infinite idea. She devotes her textbook by showing that the corporeal sense of God and man is wrong, and gives, and this is the main part of her textbook, gives a higher sense, namely an incorporeal sense of God and man, shows that God is incorporeal, shows that man is incorporeal and that he is spiritual. But what she really aims at is to lift even that out of that sense and say, actually, there is not a God and there is not a man. What is in being is just principle, which is infinite and has an infinite idea. And in that, there is no in. That's what we have to keep in view. See, it's a tremendous picture that she grasped. She grasped that enormous picture that being is nothing else but the divine principle, which is infinite in every way and has an infinite idea. And within that realm, there is no such a thing as what humans call God and what humans call man. Let's take first God. You remember how Mr. Dawley relates us that Mrs. Eddy said that if the name God could be taken out of the human language and the name principle be substituted for it, it would be a great blessing for mankind, because the term God has such a distorted sense in ordinary, everyday language. God is only a name. There is no nature about God. God is a name we give to the Supreme Being, a name we give to that being, a name we give, but it's a name. It isn't a nature, because you know very well that everyone gives to this name God a different nature. Therefore, God does not express the defined nature of being. It's only a name which we attribute to the Supreme Being, which doesn't mean a thing, because it doesn't define the nature of the Supreme Being. So why not get rid of it? He says it would be the greatest blessing for mankind if we would drop the term God. And you try it. You try it out once in your thinking about being. What happens if you really can put out the term God out of it and say, now what have I left if I don't have the term God? And then you will see that you don't lose anything, but that you gain an enormous lot. Namely, you are forced to think about the nature of the Supreme Being and not about the name. And that's the great step forward. Then the nature is principle, and principle is that cumulative sense, can you say cumulative sense, which includes all other synonymous terms for God. Now let's take the other, man. Now this is a hard nut to crack. Though, I don't see why we shouldn't crack it. What is man? Man is not the nature of that which is divinely meant by it. Man is a name. It doesn't reveal the nature of anything. When you say man, everybody understands something different under the name man. It isn't defined. It isn't a symbol. It isn't a terminology which is defined and which is distinct and which is unchangeable. We have all sorts of various meanings about what man may be. The new term which Mrs. Eddy gives for man is idea, a term which the Bible does not know. Idea, either as the idea of God or the compound idea, or only as that which. He says, man is that which has no separate mind from God. It's not he who, it's that which. And in this way helps as a transitional stage, only as a transitional stage, to make us ready to accept what finally is only real, namely principle and idea. There is nothing in all the being going on but principle and idea. So, man as a term of I and me and you and he and she and we is out when we are thinking in science. If we are going to progress, we have to drop the sense of I and you and me and she and we and so on, completely. That has nothing to do with reality. And so Mrs. Eddy introduces as a transitional revelation, says, look here, man is not personal, man is not a personal you, man is the idea of God. But this is still only a transitional stage, because the moment we say man, you agree with me, I think everyone will agree with me, the moment we say man, we have somehow unconsciously a mortal somewhere. Yes. Yes. And then we say, well, that mortal is not the man, it's the idea. And yet we still have man and idea. See? And so, little by little, she tries to help even that thought and turns it round and says that God has ideas, and the highest ideas are called the sons and daughters of God. So she turns it round as a further step and says, now, start first thinking about God and his ideas, and then makes the concession and say, then you can call the highest ideas of this principle. You can call it the sons and daughters of God. But that, when she goes a chapter further, she says, well, I lift it out of God and man, right out of it, and say, it's the infinite principle who has an infinite idea. And you just don't bother anymore about the name man. Or I put it the other way around. If being is a divine principle, and if being is the only being, has principle sons and daughters? It sounds quite ridiculous that the divine principle should have sons and daughters. Here one and here one. Can you see how we are still somehow right back in a religious, theological, mortal sense of manhood? What Mrs. Eddy saw are that those terms, God and man, are only names for something which are quite different in its nature, namely principle and idea. So I can't figure out how principle has sons and daughters. I just can't. But I can see that the nature of principle is that principle has an infinite idea, full stop. And not on that idea is man. That's already dropping the thought again into the mortal, back home, into the old sense. The challenge of today, therefore, really is before us. The challenge that says, can we drop the old terminology, that indefinite, undefined terminology of God and man, both, let it drop, and have no more a people universe, but only a universe of principle and its infinite idea. Then I think we have touched the challenge of today. Then I think we have accepted the challenge of today. And you agree with me that personal sense, that sense that we have to do with people, with men, is a very difficult proposition. Much more difficult than usually disease or sin. That we suffer under persons, under people. He said, she said, she did this, and she did that, and why did she, and why not, and why to me, and why not to him? Yeah. This is the disease that besets us from morning to night. Now, see, it is a good sign that it does beset us, and it besets us all. Because always when a new idea is trying to break through, the opposite comes up. And the new idea that is breaking through and demands of us something completely new, which the whole world has never faced up to, is, can we make, or are we ready to go through a new mutation, which says, oh, my universe, my being in which I live is not the universe of God and of man. I'm through with it. My universe is a divine principle. And a divine principle has no men, no women, and no sons and daughters, and not even if they are nice. Not even if they are spiritual. It has only idea. Idea is the right term. Idea expresses the nature of principle. Sons and daughters don't express the nature of principle, because principle is science, principle is system, principle is spiritual power, principle is spiritual interpretation. Sons and daughters don't express that. I was looking forward for a long time for this session, for this subject, because I believe that as through the ages, that which was called God has made always a new covenant with that which was called man. Always when something new has broken in, a new covenant has been made, I feel today that one being makes a new covenant with us. It says, the covenant that I'm going to make with you is this. There is no God, there is no man. All there is the unity of principle and its infinite idea. And therefore, challenges us, really, to lift thought higher and higher, and to ask us to think more and more only in terms of principle and ideas. Think what that will mean in the whole world.